Blog Talk Radio.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. Hey! For though my life you have been faithful.
Oh, yes you have.
Though my life you have been so good. Every breath that I am able, the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything, oh Lord. Your
hallelujah, hallelujah. Good morning, good morning. And welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, and it is a joy to join you today in our Friday Fellowship of Learners. We desire with all our hearts to learn about the goodness of God, to know Him more deeply and more intimately, more personally. We enjoy the journey with Him as we understand more about Him, as we learn about Him, as He draws near to us, as we draw near to Him. We are so grateful that in our journey through the God you may not know, that He's just brought to the forefront of our thinking, of our minds, and of our emotions, just some of His most incredible attributes. And even though we've talked about Him, we've read about Him, taught about Him, and preached about Him, but it's one thing to live as an object of His attributes. And just like the song that we started with, you know, his goodness is running after me. It gives you such a picture of how God pursues us, no matter where we are, no matter what we do, no matter what we think. And that pursuit he has for us is because of love. Of all the things that we have learned and we've reminded ourselves and we've dabbed deeper into an understanding of, love is the one thing that engulfs them all, because the Bible tells us God is love. That's just who he is. He can't separate himself from who he is, and he is love. Though he is a loving God, he is love. And that makes it different. When the author brought that point up, that he is a loving God, and we've said that, the Bible says it, but the Bible makes it very clear that God is love. His very essence is love. Then it lets us know there's something about the very essence of God that we need to make sure we have an understanding of, because that's who he is. And so often we hear a word and we process that word through our own understanding. But the Bible tells us to, what does the Bible tell us, Timothy? Amen. And so that means don't you try to figure out it means what you know. You need to acknowledge him and that it's his word, because it is his essence. And so we have to ask, Lord, show me love. I understood, and I got kind of excited about when the author shared the fact that the New Testament was done in Greek, and Greek had no word for who God was, is, who God is, not was, is. And so they had to make up one. They had a love that was a friendly love. They had a love that was a family love. They had a love that was partner love. They had words for those loves. But they did not have a word for the selfless, sacrificial love that Christ released in the earth realm. So the only way to talk about him was to come up with another word. So hence comes agape. Okay, so they had to create a word to describe who he was, because before he came, that was not what was released in the earth realm. That was not what they needed to talk about. It was not a part of their dictionary. It wasn't a part of their seminary school. It wasn't even a part of their theology and those things, because it had never happened and they never fully understood. We're going to go into the names of God, and they had many, 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 many names of God. Every time they experienced God, they came up with a name to describe their experience of him and give the attribute to him that they had just become acquainted with. And this particular attribute is not attribute, it's the essence of God. Then we must understand what God means by it. And so when we see these things that we're told to do, we've taken, assessments, evaluation, is love this, is love isn't. We know those scriptures, love isn't. But what is love? God is love. That sacrificial, selfless love that expects nothing but gives all. And that's just a love that, as the author shares, there was just no Greek word for it. A whole nation of people, and they kind of ruled the world at that time, did not have a word to describe our God. Hallelujah. So they made up one, agape. agape. It is true love. It is the love that seeks the best for the one that's loved and asks for nothing in return. And sometimes, you know, we could say we love people, but when you go to define it, and we are looking at that in our fruit inspection, and when you have to answer all of that whole list of requirements, you know, you can answer, you get 10 for one or two or three, but then it comes to others, it's like, well, no, you know, and in this definition, it says love seeks the best for the one love. That's that God is running after us with his goodness. You know, it's not that he runs into us and gives it to us. He seeks us out. He follows us where we go, and he gives us the promises to know there's no way you go that my arm won't reach you. Whether you're in heaven or hell, the deepest sea, it doesn't matter. No matter what circumstances and situations you find yourself in, my love reaches there because I am there. And we learned about the omnipresence of God. So all of these things make the promises of God come to life and more surely settled in our hearts and in our minds because we're understanding all of the attributes that stand behind every promise that God has for us. We had a time in October when we did a promise every day. Beautiful. I encourage you, find it and go through it. Just pick for a day and just see in that one what all of the attributes of God are standing behind that promise. That's why he says every promise is yea, yea, and amen, because he knows every attribute that he has stands and holds that promise to be sure. And he's eternal and unchanging, so it will do as he has said it would. And it will bring to us a closer look at him. Moses said, I just want to see your face. Well, when we see the promises and the attributes that stand behind it, supporting it and causing it to stand, then we are seeing the face of God. We really are, because we're seeing his attributes. You look like who you are. He looks like love. Everybody wants to paint a picture and try to get an essence. And yet I know that we don't know, because he said we wouldn't. But when we do see him, we will know that it is him. And so I believe that as we are learning these attributes, as we're perceiving them and understanding them and looking for them, then that's searching for him. And he says, if you look, you'll find me. If you search me, you'll find me. I'll be there because I want you. I want you to know me. I want you to know all about me, because these things that I have for you, I'm running after you to give them to you, because that is the nature of this sacrificial, pure, agape love. But its only source is God. And so in so many things we hear, you know, I love snow. I love fried chicken. Okay. I love my family. Okay. And yet, is it the love that Christ had for me? I'm not going to die for fried chicken. I may die eating the fried chicken, but I'm not going to die for fried chicken. I'm not going to die for snow, okay? But that love, we kind of throw it around so often and so much and towards so many different things till it kind of loses, just in our heart, it loses the priority it should take. And so it doesn't become one of our ultimate goals. Okay? I got one daughter that I don't care what you do, she say, love you, love you. It's like, okay. And I got to the point I started saying, why? You know, because we want the word to mean something and to really be communicating something that we need to communicate. And so often we use it to cover up, okay, as opposed to communicate. Because, first of all, love is very comforting. Love is what we seek. We were made to be loved, but to be loved in an agape love that God has for us. And that is a love that brings fulfillment to us. And so when we look at this second to last chapter, a loving God, that is his nature, that is who he is, that's not his nature, that's his essence, which is different from his nature, that's his essence. We should be forever grateful of all the things that we have learned about him, his holiness, and yet, when you think of his holiness, to be painfully honest, there's a sense that we should cower because he's holy and we're not. And just like was Isaiah in the temple, when he realized how high and holy God was, he said, woe is me. One of those prophets. Woe is me, because he saw the holiness of God. When we think of we're forever thankful that he is holy, and the universe would be a disaster without that aspect of God and his nature. But the blinding purity of his holiness overwhelms our imagination. And when it comes to his mercy, sometimes we want to cry when we think about it. His faithfulness encourages us, and it makes us want to search out his promises. And these are all of God's attributes that are emotionally in a slightly different way, but the most affected we are is about his love, because he says in his word that with loving kindness, I drew you. I drew you with loving kindness. It was that love that drew us to him. How much he loves the world. And he gave the most important, one of the most important scriptures in the gospel of John 3:16, which says, we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What else does it say, Timothy? Amen, amen. They have a free day today, so he's sharing Block Talk with me, and I appreciate him, and I'm reading these things. It's like he knows those things, and so he wants to be a part of our Friday Fellowship of Learners as well. Praise the Lord. So when the author breaks down this John 3:16 passage, he shares so many things that we know the passage, and he's drawing attention to certain words in the passage. Like so and only and whoever and everlasting and perish. And he has a CD, and I hope you guys, just when you chilling and don't have anything to do, you can look at the CD. They have the YouTube volumes on the chapters of this book. And he preaches them actually right from the book. And he does a lot with the word perish, and people will read it. And most people, I think, know this scripture, even those that are not a part of the family, but they've heard it. They have heard it. He starts the chapter off with the NFL game that was, I guess, in 2012, which is interesting, but anyway. But this game in 2012 where this football player, a quarterback, I think he's famous, Tim Tebow, painted John 3:16 in the black part on the paint on his eyes. And it says, and for the first time he did this was doing the national championship game, actually in 2009. And it said it lit up the internet with Google reporting over 90 million searches for John 3:16. That ought to give you goosebumps. It was also the number one trending item on Twitter. One act of one person who understood God is love and wanted to seek out and tell a world of people. I don't know if he thought 90 million people would be affected, but what a powerful gospel message. And all he did was write John 3:16. And he incited a world of curiosity, if you will, who then people started to looking it up. It says during this football game, a lot of things that happened had the combination 3:16, whether it was interceptions or touchdowns or yards or a whole bunch of stuff they did, rushing. And, you know, if you play the game, you know what they are.
On Twitter, they might not be talking about good stuff, but they might be talking about good stuff on the Facebook.
Amen. And one of the things that Timothy just shared was the fact that Twitter generally doesn't always talk about good stuff, but talking about this is talking about good stuff. So you can change what's on social media, you know, by doing one small thing for God. Yes, sir.
And also, some people might like it and some people might hate it, but that's not, you know.
That's right. Some may love it, some may hate it, but the important thing is they will all, these 90 million people, know what John 3:16 means.
Yeah.
At this point, they know. Now, it's at this point, it's for them. You know, you know, I think that just that one thing, that one act, and we should be so encouraged, you know, this one thing that a person who is in a position of influence, okay, chose to do for God, for love. He said, I am so thankful for the platform God has given me. And not only was he thankful, first and foremost, he said he just wants to thank his Savior and his Lord Jesus Christ. And I guess he got a lot of words and a lot of attention and stuff like that. And he wanted to remind them of God's love, especially when you consider that he said in the games, you know, they often appoint up, you know, you can see a player, you know, when they make a goal or a basket or whatever it is, and they'll just point up like they're thanking God. And God is, that's in the media, he is causing us to be so enthralled with who he is that you just have to, at every opportunity, share that love, share that truth. And it causes us then forces us to go back to the basics of who God is. His love reflects his eternal attributes. Every attribute comes through his love. His love is eternal, and that makes it durable. It's wider and deeper than the incalculable dimensions of the cosmos. I love that. The incalculable dimensions of the cosmos. And so this is who loves us. And then he loves us as he shares the whoever is, he loves the world, for God so loved the world, and not those that believe. The world is made up of the unloving, the unlovely, the lonely, the loathsome, the arrogant, the lawbreakers. And yet God loves each and every one. And one of the things that we are encouraged to do with loving each other and then loving the lost is to understand how much God loves them, how much he loves the worker that won't work right, and how much he loves the person that cut in and took your parking space, or the cashier that was rude, or the person on the phone. He loves each one as though we're the only one. He has that depth of love for us all. He loves each and everyone. Yes.
And I'm going to say, I never really, and I'm going to be honest, understood, you know, how, but he loved us. And then God started showing us how he loved us in our filthy rags or all this or that. And you learn more how to pray for someone, everyone, no matter who it is, no matter what they've done or whatever, and the strangers or whatever, because he really do love us all, even in our mess. Because we all of them fell short of the glory of God. And whether they know God or don't know God or have a relationship or don't, greater love is the scripture, I guess, says greater love than this, that he laid down his life for us. So he really loved each and every one of us. And you could be a murderer. I remember, I don't know if it was Apostle or someone, would teach on the murder, that we was murderers. And I didn't even understand. I said, well, I ain't killed nobody. But if we could murder with our mouth, with lies, with whatever, right? Is that murder that they talk about? It ain't that you went out and killed somebody, right? So,
right.
But to know that greater love that God has for us, and he don't want nobody to pray for God, you go forth and start praying for everyone. First, you have to ask for forgiveness, because you was a liar and a beast before the Lord, as you always say. And but you then realize that God loves us all, even in our mess, and he forgave me, so who am I that he won't forgive someone else?
Exactly. Yes, yes. And that's one of the motivations that we should have for the lost. You know, there is a church that said, bring me your, I don't know, your unloved, your unwanted, and, you know, they have this whole list of things, and I used to, every time we would pass it, I would say, boy, that's offensive. I mean, you know, you telling somebody you're not worthy. You're the one that's been kicked to the curb, but we all have been at some point. And one of the things we did with a video that one of the candidates had done, and you know, it's like we've kicked a lot of people to the curb with our looks, with our ignoring them. You know, we really kick them to the curb and say, and with the idea in our hearts, really, oh, that's what they deserve. You know, kick them to the curb because that's what they deserve. She had a little rap going on. And when I was listening and all of the different instances that she was bringing up, it's like half of them, I've been in that position. And we all have at some point. Like you say, and if we got what we deserve, we would be in hell. But God, but this love, this not this love, this soul love, a soul love, that one little word brings such a power to this gospel. There's a way to spell gospel out of John 3:16, G, for God so loved the world, O, he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe in him S should not and P perish but have everlasting life. And it spells out gospel. And that is the gospel message. That's why that 3:16 on that man's, you know, face painted, whatever, went so viral. Because you know what? People want love. And it was that, I believe, at that particular, you know how he says, at the appointed time, people were in need of something. And God so loved the world that he knew if he, this individual that he gave this position to was prepared to share the gospel with everybody that saw it. And so he knew the timing was right for the people, because he could have had it on there and people just, you know, went, I don't know what that means, you know, and went on about their business. But 90 million, it's a lot of people in the world, wanted to know. They wanted to know, and they know now, because when they looked it up, they had to read it. And they know where it is. And so that's the world that God wants to make sure knows his love. He was running after the world with his goodness by having Tim Tebow write it on his face so that he could run after some people that weren't even looking his way and may not ever look his way. But he wanted to make sure they knew he was there. They knew he was there, and they would know what he had, and they would know that it was for them. It was being offered to them. They were the subject of his love offering, that his son was the price that had to be paid for them and for their sins and mine, and that the reason is the fact that we are God's choice. He chose to put his love on us. He chose to share his love. Well, it's more to share. Pour out. That's what he did. He poured out his love. And when he poured out his love, he poured it out with a promise, with a promise. And often those people who don't want to believe or refuse to believe, they will give words different meanings. And so it's no big deal. So they shall not perish. So many people, they just don't believe in hell. They don't. They figure, they feel like when you die, that's it. Or you die and you turn into a cat or go to, I don't know, a tree. You know, you transform into something else. So they've been deceived into believing that there is not a price to pay for sin. But because we understand that God is the eternal one, he is the creator, and he has the right to rule and reign, and he is going to, and he also has established his holiness. His holiness is his command, and he says, because of who he is, the wages of sin is death. We had a choice. We had a choice in the beginning, and we didn't choose correctly, and now he's going, I love you too much, I give you another opportunity for a choice to choose so that you will not die. And just like the enemy told Adam and Eve, well, you really won't die. He was giving them a definition of dying. He was not giving them God's definition of dying. And death and perish are a separate. It's a separation from God. Because that is death. Without, if God, because God is life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we don't have him, we don't have life. We don't have life. You know, we're living really in this whole age of zombies and all of that. That's what they are. Those that don't have Christ, they're like the living dead. They just haven't laid down yet. And so they have opportunity, as long as they're walking around, to get to life and to get to the love that brings the, they have the love. It's there for them. And when they embrace it, then the light will become a part of them, and then they will live and live. And so the gospel includes the promise, and it also includes the reward. It includes the fact that to fulfill it, the fulfillment of God. God is fulfilled when we choose eternal life, because his whole object is us, us being with him forever. And you ever notice when a kid messed up, you want to help them get back into the right place so that they can enjoy life and living. And that's the same way God does. He wants us to get in the proper position, and he knows that position is in him, is in Jesus Christ. And through the name of God and the blood of the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, the promises come to life. Otherwise, they're words on a page and we can't do nothing with them because we don't have the power in us. But the blood releases it. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. This will get you, this is the credit card to get you everything you need. Everything you need to delight and satisfy the God of creation. And that's every promise. And part of his delight being with him eternally. So much so, Christ told his disciples, you know what, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Don't be downhearted. This is, your eternal life has started now. It's already started. You and me, it started. And now I'm going to fix a place so that when you get through with what you need to do here, you know, I'm not going to say retirement because it's not retirement. You can really go on vacation in heaven to the good part, okay? And so I believe that as we come to understand God and his strategy and his plan that he has for us, because he knew it from the beginning, because he knew how it was going to end, that there would be such a joy in what we do because of something that we know. You ever knew a secret and, you know, you didn't want, maybe somebody's going to give somebody a surprise birthday party and you all excited about it, but you can't let them know, so you walk around humming and anticipating because you know what's coming, okay? And you know that it's going to be, you know, something that's going to make them joyous. Well, that's how God is. He knows what's coming. And he knows that it's going to fulfill us because he knows how fearfully and wonderfully we're made because he did it. So he knows how to satisfy our longing souls. He knows about it. He even sent his son to experience it so that we would understand. He knows, you know, if somebody tried to tell you something and you know all about their life, you know, well, you would have no idea. Well, now if you know about Jesus, you know whatever it is you've gone through, he's gone through it too. And he was victorious. And if he did, then we will. Not would, could. We will. Because he has sent his Holy Spirit who has sealed us and will teach and correct us. And so as we see the fulfillment and the promise of God's love, and we are rejoicing in the fact that we are the choice for God's love, and the price has been paid, and he has an offer. You know, anybody give you an offer that you can't refuse? That's this kind of offer. This is John 1 John 4:9-11. And somebody gets, what is that scripture I wanted to read in a version of Romans 8:31-39. Romans 8:31-39. In the Message, if you have it. Okay, 1 John 4:9-11 says, in this the love of God was manifested toward us. You know how we're always singing that song, manifest, manifest. And he said, my love is manifested towards you. It says that God sent his only begotten son into the world. And remember, only and begotten, all of these words have powerful implications behind them. And we just want to ask Holy Spirit, help enlighten my eyes to understand why you put begotten, why you put his, your only. It said that we might live through him. In this is love, is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So understanding what propitiation means, that was for, I don't know, 20 years, and I was a Christian. I had no idea. You know, it was a word I should have looked up, but I didn't. And when I did, I started to understand what. You know, even though you know Christ died for your sins, you know in your head that. You know, but start thinking about the sins that you did and do and will do. All of that he took on. 100 million people's sins. I don't know how many people have lived on the earth for the last 1,000 years, but all of their sins, all of Hitler's sins, all of, I don't know, the worst person, John Manson, you know, all of the sins, Paulette, okay, let's be for real, okay, Hugh Hefner, you just, yes, you name the people, every sin had a price attached to it, and that price was death. That's why his agony on the cross was as it was. And we will never fully understand. We can see a movie and we can read it, in the, but we will never understand how they totally disfigured Christ because of us.
Wow. Yeah. And Rome's message, that was Romans 8, message 38, 39 from the Message Bible?
31.
Okay, yes, it goes. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with the one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us. Is it in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us? Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing. Not even the worst sin listed in Scripture. They killed us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. Wow. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God, love, because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And that's it. That is
hallelujah.
It. That is
hallelujah.
It.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes.
And that's how he loves our husbands, our spouse, our people who even the guy who said, "I'm good, I don't need God," and you know he need him because you don't want him to die and go to hell. So you know they need him, but when they say, "I'm good," what is our response supposed to be? other than, but God loves you so much, he don't want you to die and go to hell? Or what should we say in love? You know, you're learning this evangelistic ministry, but you want to always say what God will say. That scripture itself says it all.
Yes, it does. And one of the things we have to understand, remember, love seeks out giving and being good. See, sometimes it's not something we say. It's what we do. Going out of your way for someone that I want to say that you may not even know, and not for any kind of positive embellishment for you, but it's going out of your way. It's making us, taking us out of our comfort zone. And one of the things I think always happens with us is that, you know, God will say something and we'll go, you know, I don't want to do that because, you know, not because of anything negative. It may be that may not be the wise thing to do. You know, sometimes we reason it out on our own, okay? When he's saying, you know, that hear my voice and do what I've asked you to do. One of the things Pastor Diane is always saying, just trust him. Just trust him and obey. But to obey, we have to hear what he's saying to us. And that's where the ministry of the Holy Spirit comes in. He will teach us to know the voice of God. He will teach us to know what heaven is requiring of us. And it's going to be in line with his word. But we will also have the guidance of Holy Spirit who lives in us, who is God. And we need to be able to stretch out on it, trust it, stand on it, okay? Walk on it and run with it.
That's interesting you said that, Overseer, because when I moved to South Carolina, and I had all my car loaded up, and I ain't have nobody. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to give you someone. It was a young man, and he had been barbecuing outside and, you know, at the complex I was moving in, I mean the building. And bottom line, I said, sir, can you help me? Can you do a favor for me? He said, oh, my God, what you want me to do? And I think he thought it was sexual, and I said, oh, no. I said, I just moved here, and I basically just need help, and I'll pay you. I said, you know, and I told him what amount I would pay him because that's how much I had in my car. And he said, oh, yes, let me just take my barbecue up and help. To make a long story short, I didn't know after we became just the best of friends. He was probably less than my son age. And bottom line, he needed ride to the store or to get to work, and then I needed him to come and help me to get the groceries out or whatever. To make a long story short, his dad had died. When he got back home, his mama died. And
it was
a lot to be a young man trying to make it. And everything just seemed like was just falling apart. And then his mama's sister died. And the other day he was telling me, the house, somebody left the pot on while he was out of town and burnt the kitchen in the other room, but it didn't mess up his stuff. And I said, see how God is just working. But then he called me one day and he said, you know, something is, and he never said the person, so I already knew he was, you know, homosexual. It didn't matter because God loves us all. You know what I mean? But I used to have a fear. I remember when Eva Vandy Julia taught a class, and then the Holy Spirit helped me how to love, because he loved me and my mess. I ain't no better than nobody else, no matter what condition.
Yeah.
I one day asked him, because he was saying, I called the restaurant and said, do you see this person? Because I want to give them a surprise party and who they sit with, because I want to make sure I have enough food for him. He was lying. He didn't want to see if his boyfriend was cheating on him. You know, and I say all that to say, we never know what God put us in, and when we be riding, he'll say, I know the Bible, and he'll quote scriptures and everything, and we'll just talk about God. But he said, I didn't know you knew I was gay. I said, but it don't matter. I love you unconditionally. You know, I said, and I need you. You always come to help me. When you need some, I'm here for you, you know. And God just put a friend
and the person who didn't have a mother, a daddy, or anybody now to go to.
Right.
And that's a and I always tell them, if you ever need, you know, anything, I'm here for you to talk or whatever. And the other day, I had been looking for him for 2 months, and I said, I hope he didn't do nothing and go to jail for beating up this guy who was cheating on him.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God when yesterday when I called, he answered the phone. And just tears of joy, because you want everybody to make it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen.
And I had to learn even for myself. I had to do that. You show love and you let go of that bitterness, the anger and hurt and forgiveness and pride. And you just love them unconditionally. You pray and ask God. You never know. One day it might turn out for the good. You know, and even if y'all don't work it out, God still is in control, right?
That's right. He is in control. Absolutely.
I'm done talking. I'm sorry. I'm just excited about what God is doing.
Amen.
That video of that lady teaching, and like you said, with snow and everything, and she didn't even look like she had enough clothes.
Yeah,
the
absolutely.
And the
rope. Absolutely.
And that's why God said, your test is your testimony, and our message is our message. But we're now, in many years, y'all to bail me out of jail or hell. You know, I ain't never went to jail, but what I'm saying is, you know, one time I did go to jail. I had to think about it, right? And then tried to clear asthma to get out of it, you know. But I say all that to say God knows our heart, and he ain't going to let us die in our mess. And he really do love us. So thankful. This awesome.
Amen.
Peace.
Amen.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Elder. Minister Pat, thank you. Anybody else? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we are officially on chapter 12, knowing God by name. So we're going to end this a little differently. Going to end this book a little differently. As you read it, excuse me, the author is sharing different stories out of the Bible and situations and circumstances where the men and women of God got to a place in their life of a new worship, which was a new connection with a new aspect of God. And so he was still Jehovah, Old Testament, but then he took on another aspect that they just had not been familiar with. He didn't take it on. He'd already always had it. And so then they was able to identify a new aspect of God, characteristic of God, personality of God. And so I want you to find a scripture. Maybe it's your favorite scripture. It could be John 3:16. It can be, you know, 23rd Psalm, something very familiar. Or it could be something new that you're working on. And uncover the name of God being released in that scripture. Obviously, John 3:16 has many names of God being released in that scripture, many attributes of who he is and of his character. And then, or along with that.
Understood. Can you repeat that? Because I can hardly hear what you said. You said found scripture for what?
Just have, if you have a scripture, maybe it's your favorite scripture, and identify the name of God that is released in that scripture for you. For you. I want that to be the way we end this book, our own names of God that he has revealed to us in our own circumstances and situations or in scripture. So you can either use scripture or your circumstances or your situation or times in your life or seasons that he revealed to you a part of his essence that you had never known before. And now you can build an altar there and worship that new name of God. Because that's what the book is showing, sharing with us what the people of Israel did as they journeyed. And when God did something, they built, they stopped. They built an altar and they gave God a name. They identified the God they had met in that place and they worshiped him. And then when we do this, the altar that we're going to build is in our hearts. So you're not going to get stones and put them in a place or candles and light them. No, what you're going to do is take the stone out of your heart, stony heart, and you're going to shine the light for other people to see because of this name that God has introduced to you about him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes.
Because I know that you normally don't.
Yes, it does.
Okay, well, very good.
And when we bring and that scripture, just knowing the name of God for that scripture. Now, say if it says three things in that. I mean, I know mine is God not giving me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So you got fear, power, love, and sound mind. Then you find four names of God related to that? Yes or no?
I don't know. If, are they?
Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, yep. Okay. And when you read the, when you read chapter 12, it'll make sense because you'll see how he has structured it.
Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you, guys. All right. Any more insights? We all are given something when we do our studying, so don't be tenchy. Share it. And they just chuckle to themselves. Okay.
All right, overseer.
All right, girl. That's all right. Be stingy. Okay. But make sure you share it somewhere. It doesn't necessarily have to be here. But share it in your living and in your giving. Because he will, he will bring it back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and truly running over.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Well, be blessed. Be blessed and be a blessing.
Yes.
And we will
yes.
talk next week. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Have a good day.
Amen. Love y'all.
Love you too.